thank you for tuning in to That Gabby Roslin podcast. In this episode, I chat with the very lovely Laura Whitmore. She talks about her childhood growing up near Dublin with her huge Irish family, studying journalism in Boston and getting her first career break after winning a competition on MTV. She talks to me about the hilarity of filming Celebrity Juice with Keith Lemon. She admits there are numerous versions of how she first met her other half, comedian Ian Sterling, building an Irish pub together in their garden during lockdown, and the fantastic dance routines they've shared on TikTok. Also, finding her voice in the industry, getting her own show on BBC Radio 5 Live, and now turning her hand to script writing and acting. She really is a fabulous, wonderful, talented woman.
Hello, hello.
Hello, lovely.
Hiya.
How's your head?
How's my head? In general.
Well, you were recording last night. I saw my mate Keith's Instagram.
It was brilliant. It's so much fun. It's also just nice to like be making television in this climate. We had an audience. It was a very small audience, but we had an audience. And I mean, you know that show. I just love that show. It's so much fun. It doesn't feel like work at all.
How far did it go?
Oh, God. There was nudity involved, but not from me. That's all I can say. It's always the way. You kind of, you have a line and then, you know, you cross that line a long time ago.
Oh, my God. Do you do it completely sober?
It probably helps if you're not. People probably don't realise because it's not recorded live. So, you know what telly's like. It takes about 2.5 hours to record it. So, like, you can be getting drunker as the show goes on. And then when it goes out in air, it's like, wow, Laura just like gets drunk really quickly. So I was trying to pace myself, but I always think a little something to take the edge off is always good.
Do you know what? I think you as team captain, that was just brilliant casting. It must have been the easiest yes of your career.
Yeah, I mean, I was a no-brainer for me. I don't even think they even asked me, did I want to do it? I think it was always a no-brainer.
Oh, it must be just the best thing though. Work. I mean, okay, so there are jobs you do where you're working with your partner. There are jobs you do when you're working with your mates. It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. I mean, I've known Keith Lemon, also known as Lee Francis, even though sometimes it's very hard to know the difference between the two of them. I've known him for years, and Emily Atack as well is a good pal of mine since I first moved to London. So yeah, it is like doing it with mates. And one thing Holly Willoughby always said was like, it was her night out every week, was doing that show, was recording that show. And that's what I feel like last night. It felt like a night out. And let's be honest, we're not really getting many nights out these days.
That is the truest thing you've ever said. Even if for work, did you ever? I mean, we're very lucky because we love our jobs passionately. I know you do, like me.
Yeah.
But actually, going into work is like the best night out you've ever had because we don't go out, we don't do anything.
Yeah, that's going to be my night out now. Is going to go and do Celeb Juice, and I get to do it with my friends and. It's fun. I have to say, I do end up in some situations on Celeb Juice that I probably wouldn't get into in real life. But it's such good fun. I think it's great that the TV world is still making and still creating. And it's just so exciting to be part of it. I mean, it's a show that's loved by so many people. It's like a national treasure at this stage.
I remember watching it in the beginning because Lee Keith, whoever he is, but to me and you, he's Lee, which is very bizarre. But
yeah.
But certainly, I remember watching it and thinking, oh, no, I'm too old. I can't watch this. And then I just thought, oh, it's my guilty pleasure. And then I sort of came out and said, I love this. And all of my friends said, oh, so do I.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. This is you just feel like you're being naughty. And you're allowed to be naughty when you watch it.
And I think as well, you can even see by like guests over the years, people who probably said initially, oh, I wouldn't go on that show, and then doing it, do you know, because they love it so much.
But listen, hold on. What about not going out? You've got a pub at the bottom of your garden now.
I know. Do you know what? The worst thing about lockdown is we hadn't finished the pub before lockdown. We had basically a shed. Moved into this house about a year ago, and then I haven't really been home. Before lockdown, I spent a lot of time working away, staying with my other half. We're never home. And then lockdown happened, and we were like, oh, we have to live here now. And we had a shed built, but we hadn't put anything in it yet. And then during lockdown, when we were all forced to stay at home, which actually probably wasn't a bad thing, we thought, what were we missing? What did we really miss when we had 4 months when we couldn't leave the house? We thought, you know what, a pub, a local pub. So we decided just to build one in the garden.
I love that. So how pub is your pub? I mean, is it full pub or is it sort of, Are we 50%? How much pub?
We've got Guinness on tap.
That's hysterical.
We've got a little wood burner. It's quite like, it's not like a fancy pub. It's like a little Irish vibe, you know, like little shithole kind of pub. But I want that. I'm like, if you drop or spill anything in the pub, that's fine. You know, I want cigarette burns. I want whatever you can do, because I want it to kind of remind me of where I grew up in my local pub from home. We've got like a brickwork wall. We've got like a bench with Ian's a massive fan of Hibernian Football Club from back home. So we have their tartan. And then we've lots of random crap. So I was going to like start collecting lots of random crap. Because you know when you go to those little smelly pubs and it just has random crap on the walls? That's what I want in my shed.
Oh, you need those. Oh, what are they called? Those Toby jugs.
What's that?
Oh, right. Okay. I'm going to try and find one. I'm going to send it to you.
So okay.
A Toby jug is, it's like an old bit. It's made out of china or pottery. And it's got a fat man with a hat on and a big long coat. On the front of it.
I don't think I've ever seen, I need to see a picture because I cannot think about, what?
Okay, just go, have you got your phone by you?
I've got my laptop here, Holland. Toby. Okay. Like Toby, T-O-B-Y, Toby. Like Toby Maguire. Yeah.
Toby jug, yeah.
Toby jug.
Nothing like Toby Maguire when you see the picture.
Yes, I know. It's quite British though, isn't it? Maybe that's why I don't know, isn't it? It's quite British.
Oh, maybe. Right, I'm going to find the most revolting Toby jug.
Oh, I think I found it already. I've got a Trump one.
Oh, no, that's too far. Revolting. That's just going too
far. That's too far. Not
but also, don't they have horseshoe? You know, not horseshoes. You know, the things
I have a horseshoe. I have a lucky horseshoe.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, no, we've got quite a lot, but we're happy to take more. I'm scrolling now. I'm seeing some really weird things that I can't unsee now. I'm going to actually just stop Googling that.
Yes, I shouldn't have taken you down that road. But also, I know what you can get for in there, okay? It costs £2.39.
Okay, I'll push the boat.
Do you know what it is?
£2.39, that's very specific.
Yeah, it's a Laura Whitmore face mask.
I mean, I don't want to know why you know that. I didn't know you could get them.
Yep. If you've got £34.90, you could get a full-size cardboard cutout of you in a suit, Laura Whitmore.
Why would you want... Now, what would you be doing with that, though?
Well...
Maybe that's a nice present for Ian. Imagine Ian, I just got him a mask. Imagine I like... Like, what would you be doing with it? I don't even know why anyone would even want to buy that.
It was so weird. Because I know you and we know each other in the real world, I just thought, right, I want to just find out about your background and your degree and, well, that you were in Boston. We'll talk about all that. But
Don't say you Googled me.
No, I did. It was lovely. But the first things that came up were your mask and the cardboard cutout. And I just... Do you know what was really lovely? It's a very funny thing. It didn't make me laugh. I just had this lovely smile because you know how much I adore you. And I just thought, oh, you know what? If you're really missing people around you... You could just get cardboard cutouts of everybody. And I thought, then I started Googling cardboard cutouts. And you can get Danny DeVito.
Great.
Ben Shepherd.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be quite a good party.
Well, listen to this. A woman came up to me. This must have been a year ago, and said, this is a really weird thing. I just remember this now. Her husband works for a company, like it must be an events company. And she's got loads of cardboard cutouts of people. She says, I have a cardboard cutout of you. I actually thought she was a little bit crazy at first, but she goes, I've got loads because it's my husband's job. And what we do is we put them up in the house when we go away on holidays. Like, do you know in Home Alone when they had all the, when he pretended that his whole family were there when the burglars tried to come in, you could see the shadows.
Yes.
So if someone tries to break into their house, they just see like my face peering through the window. That's weird, but great.
That's not scary, though. I mean, come on. If you're going to break into a house and you see Laura Whitmore, Ben Shepherd, Danny DeVito, you're going to want to stay.
That is a dinner party I want to stay at.
Oh, so come on. Look, you just mentioned home. So what was it like at home in Dublin then when you were a kid? It wasn't really all bars with horseshoes and fag ends on the floor, was it?
Well, no, not when I was growing up because I was underage. No, it was lovely. I'm very thankful looking back at my childhood. I grew up in a little seaside resort just south of Dublin called Bray with just my mom. And I'm just looking back, I'm very thankful. Like at the time, I probably wasn't very thankful. And I remember growing up that like my parents were the only people in my school who weren't together. Like, and that was such a big thing back then. like coming from a single parent background. I mean, now it's rare that any parents are together.
Yes.
But then it was quite rare, but I don't think I really realized. And I remember thinking at one stage going, oh, I have the perfect family background to be an actress because I feel like I've got something a little bit different that makes me unique. But I always felt kind of loved and happy. And for that, I'm really grateful of, even if it wasn't a necessarily conventional upbringing. Like I have a great relationship with both my mom and my dad. They're really good friends. And I think if they were still together, they probably wouldn't be. I'm 35 now. And I kind of look to my mom, who was in her 30s, who had it. Mom worked full time and she had a kid out of wedlock. And that was, she was the youngest of 13 children, the only child to kind of
13.
I know, granny and granddad were at it. But that was normal back then because there was no contraception. And that's what people did. And
yeah, but 13. I mean, you forget
who's who.
Goodness me. So do you ever have big Christmases or events where the whole family, all the cousins and everything, get together?
Probably not all of them, because it's hard to track them down. And I guess there's such an age difference between my mom's older, like my mom is the youngest, so her oldest sister is about 19 years older than her. So like my granny was like pregnant for most of two decades. And God, can you imagine that?
No.
And but yeah, so we do have big Christmases, but that's even just with three aunties and uncles and the cousins. Like that's quite big in itself. And I do remember a funny story years ago, because I don't know, most people are probably related to me if they're Irish.
most people are related to you. I love that. Okay, I'm going to call all my Irish friends.
I don't want to be like a cliche, because someone's like, oh, you're Irish. Do you know Paddy Maguire? And I'm like, actually, yeah, I do. I'm like, don't be so stereotypical. But I actually, yeah, he's my third cousin once removed. But I remember years ago, this guy coming up to me and I think he was kind of hitting on me in a bar. And then I worked out that he was like a second cousin.
Oh, no.
I was like, hold on. Where are you from? Who's your mom? So, yeah, you have to be careful of that.
So I know you went to journalism school, but there you were as a child thinking you wanted to be an actress. And you and I have spoken away from microphones and everything. And you want to do it all, which is fantastic. But you went, which we'll get to in a moment. But then you went from Dublin University. You went over, didn't you study in Boston?
I studied in Boston, yeah. So I did, it was part of my degree. I studied journalism and then we got a semester abroad in a different university. So I went to Boston University, and like Massachusetts is an incredible place. And especially Boston, because it has it's known for students. It's got so many universities and prestigious universities. And also, I mean, I looked out because basically you do an exchange. So four Irish students went over to Boston University. And then four American students went over to Dublin City University. But like the fees in America are like ridiculous. They are just insane what people have to pay to go to university. And at the time in Ireland, they were free. So I got to go to Boston University as still part of, you know, my Irish curriculum. And, you know, we got to study some great things. We had proper newsrooms. And, you know, it was really eye-opening. I just turned 21, which is a great age to be in Boston because that's the age of going out. And yeah, and I was thinking of the poor divils who got sent to Dublin.
Yes, very, very different. But also Dublin's an amazing place. But I just...
It's an amazing
place. Being
city.
A student in Boston, it's so funny, you went to the studios and the work. I wanted to know about what life was like away from the college. It must have just... Was it like the movies or like we all imagine?
Yeah, exactly it was. I just remembered all I wanted to go was to a house party and drink kind of red cups and play beer pong, because that's what they did in the films, in all those kind of college films over there. And we went, that's what they did. We went to house parties and we played beer pong. We drank out of red cups. And I was there summer through to Christmas time, which is a wonderful time because you go, it's quite hot when you first go over there, and then you go through fall. And Salem's really close as well. It's within Massachusetts. And they do Halloween, Gabby, on another level. It's like a week-long event and they go big. So I went big. And they're going into Christmas time as well. And it was just such, like for a 21-year-old, who'd never lived abroad, it was just so eye-opening.
Would you move over to the States?
Yeah, I don't know when I moved full-time. Boston I could live in. Last year, we actually took a road trip, myself and Ian. It was like on my bucket list. We started off in San Francisco, the West Coast, and we rented a Mustang and we drove to Boston. So we just drove from West Coast to East Coast. And I wanted to end in Boston because Ian had never been to Boston, and Boston was so close to my heart because I had such a great experience there. And it was lovely. And I remember it feels different. It's so strange when you're driving through the different states in America because you realize how different they are. Middle America is very, very different to the East Coast.
I mean, I love America.
Have you lived there?
Do you know what? When I was younger, I would have loved to have lived in New York. I think it's an amazing place.
It's beautiful. And some of my best friends actually live there. I think it's very hard at the moment, especially during when they had their lockdown. Whatever we thought living in central London was cramped. I think living in New York during that time was very tough.
I love all the videos that you and Ian were doing and your dancing. You and Ian dancing. I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, you're beautiful and you're a wonderful dancer. And your time at Strictly, you know how much I loved you on that. Voting for you all the time.
Oh, bless
but,
you.
But you and Ian dancing, it just brought joy to everybody. It just makes me smile. Does he like dancing? Because I'm not quite sure.
So funny. It's so funny because the amount of people who mentioned the TikTok dancing, and like we didn't do that many. And when we did it, like I could never do anything that would take us longer than 10 minutes because Ian just didn't have the capacity to like stick with it. So it had to be something quick and easy. So I'd be, come on, do this. And you could probably tell from his expression, it wasn't his idea. But when we did it, we only did a handful of them, but I still to this day, people go, oh, your dancing just made me smile. And I'm like, I was like, do you know what? We didn't really have anything else to be doing, Gabby, if I'm honest with you. We were both working from home and Ian was writing a sitcom at the moment and I was doing the radio show from home and podcasting. But like, you can't just sit at your desk all day. So our nights out were, let's do a little dance routine and record it and put it out there. And we would never have done that before lockdown. We've always been kind of quite private about our relationship. And it's been an interesting time because we've definitely opened up a little bit more. We're still quite protective, but we have opened up a little bit more. And I think a lot of people have. I think a lot of people are kind of showing more of themselves because of that time, because all we had was each other.
And it was a joy. And I remember through Prince's Trust, because you and I are very, very honoured to be a part of that incredible charity, and being with you and Ian, and I think I whispered in your ear, this is the perfect match or something. I was sitting behind you and you went bright red.
I remember.
And he saw as well. And he went, yeah.
Well, he was right there, Gabby.
I know. And I just thought, you know, when you look at two people, you go, oh, that, it just works. That just works.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like the dancing with you together. It works.
We compromise. I let him watch football. He does TikTok dances.
Perfect. See? You see, that's...
That's what it's
that's
about.
That's it. That's the whole thing. How did you meet?
Do you know what? Every time someone asks us that, we kind of tell a different story because we're not really sure. Because we both work in the same industry. Now, he started in children's television and BBC. I started in MTV. So our paths didn't really cross then. But I actually forgot. This is terrible. We did a panel show together, like the same episode.
You forgot him?
I forgot. Like, he was on it and I was on it. Yeah. So it was... But we weren't on the same team. It was an ITV2 show called Fake Reaction that Matt Edmondson was hosting. And I was on Joe Swash's team and he was on Ellie Taylor's team. But I don't think we really talked, or he says I ignored him, but I wouldn't possibly do that. But we are on the same television episode like 8 years ago or 9 years ago. It is out in the universe. But we never talked. And also Ian has this ability to look very different. Like it's great. Him and our dog, this sounds weird. Him and our dog, when they get a haircut, look like two different species. So like our dog, I've got a Maltipoo. And when he's got long hair, he looks like one dog. When he gets a haircut, someone's like, have you got a new dog? I'm like, no, he's had a haircut. That's like Ian. They're like, have you got a new boyfriend? I'm like, no, he's just had
a
haircut.
So what happens when they both come home after a haircut on the same day at the same moment?
I don't know who I'm living with. I'm like, who are these people in my house?
Actually, it might be quite exciting.
It's quite exciting. It mixes it up a bit. Yeah, it's like I'm cheating on you with you. That's weird. So I just think when we did that show together, he did look very different. I didn't know it was him, but he did look very different. And then that was when he was like kids television presenter. And then we bumped into each other again. Actually, I think you were there. It was the ITV gala. And we'd met each other at the Children's BAFTAs, but we never really talked that much. And then at the ITV gala is where he slid into my DMs? Listen to this for flirting, you ready? To ask me what type of dog I had.
Oh, he knew what he was doing.
Apparently it was flirting. I just thought he wanted to know what dog I had. So I just wrote back, oh, Maltipoo. Like, no chat. That was it. So it took a while. It took about 9 months after that.
Oh, that's so lovely. I love that. I love that story. And I love the fact that there's proof that you actually did meet each other 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember. My other favourite thing of you at the moment is... If you do Google yourself, not only will find the face masks and the cutout, but the amount of coverage of you buying a rug that wasn't what you expected. I mean, I saw it on Instagram and it's gone mad. The papers have gone mad for it.
And so many likes for that. The engagement for that has got more than a picture of me working. It's terrible. Me doing my job doesn't get as much engagement on Instagram as a picture of me messing up buying a rug.
Oh, but it's just heaven. So this is, so for people who haven't seen this picture, you ordered a rug through online.
Through online. And you saw that was the picture. The picture I posted was there was only one picture. There wasn't like a swipe across the different types of pictures. That was the picture that was on. So you can see why I thought that was it.
It looks perfect.
It's perfect size. I saw it. I was like, you know what? Even if I don't know exactly the dimensions, it's quite a big space. There's a big sofa in that picture. Do you know, you can compare it to other things. There was like a seat. There was like a double sofa. I was like, you can kind of roughly gauge the size of it. I am really bad, especially during lockdown, for buying online. I just kind of do things quickly, spur of the moment. And I probably didn't read the smaller details, like the size.
Yes, but I'm sorry, the picture... I would have done it too. They lured you in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit smaller than you imagined.
Not only smaller, it just looked shit. the edges were rolled and the colour wasn't exactly the colour. And I think why it did so well, engagement wise, and why papers wrote about it was it's relatable. We've all been there. We've all bought something online that's arrived and looks nothing like it.
Oh, I remember buying a skirt that was honestly the most hideous. And I don't buy a lot because I do shopping in your wardrobe a lot. But this skirt...
And by the way, I love that. I've been shopping in my wardrobe during lockdown.
I'm very pleased to hear that. And I know because I've been watching. But this skirt, oh my God, it was the worst skirt. And I had to admit it and hold my hands up. But the worst thing is that all these people underneath are saying, oh, I love that skirt. And I'd actually written, this is nothing like it was. Just think, oh, well, each their own. Everybody has their own opinion, which is wonderful. Talking of opinions, though, your show on Radio 5 Live, that's a great show. That's a different side of you than people. I think it surprised a lot of people, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think for me it was really important and it was lovely when I got the opportunity to do that show. And a big shout out to Nihal Arthanyaki, who presents weekdays, because he is the night and an incredible broadcaster, but also very giving. And this industry, sometimes, you know, you kind of, it's perceived to be quite cutthroat, but there's a lot of people who help each other out. And I know you've always been so lovely and encouraging from the first time I ever met you, before I even knew you on a personal level. You've always been so lovely to me. And I remember being a guest on Nihal's show, on his Five Live show, and we were talking about a few different, it was kind of around the time of Me Too, we were talking about different issues, and I was kind of on there as the kind of celebrity guest. And I start talking, and he was like, oh, you've got something to say. And then he ended up kind of letting me take over a little bit. And he's like, why don't you kind of lead the next segment and do this? And so lovely and giving. And I think because of that, you know, the commissioners got to see a different side of me and got to listen to the show. And that's how I ended up getting a summer series and then ended up eventually becoming a full-time series. And I'm so thankful for that because you know what it's like. You've been in this industry for a long time. People see you doing one thing or, you know, the Big Breakfast or MTV or whatever. And they're like, oh, that's who you are. You're the entertainment presenter and you're the blonde girl. And we'll put you in the box and that's where you're going to stay. And it's so lovely when people give you the opportunity to prove others wrong.
Do you feel, though, that it's that has opened you up to more? So, everybody knew, you know, you did MTV, you did Strictly. Mm-hmm. So suddenly people saw you in a different light. And you did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here on ITV2. I can never remember what it's called. Get Me Out of Here Now.
Oh, that's the longest title ever. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Now. It's the longest title ever. Rolled off the tongue.
And you did all of that. But suddenly the Radio 5 thing, I just felt I was so... delighted for you. I can't expect. I am incredibly proud. As you know, I'm always saying, oh, you've got to do more, got to do more. And it suddenly everyone went, and it was hallelujah time, because I don't like the way that people are very judgmental. And I think that people judge people because you are incredibly beautiful. You're an incredibly good girl. You're lovely and beautiful. But also suddenly people go, oh, she really has an opinion. She really, you know, it's not just about all of those things. And I it upsets me that people just think that don't look past that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it's a tough one when you're first starting out as well, because you're kind of told a little bit sometimes to shut up and be quiet. Not exactly that, but, you know, especially when you're starting out in an industry and you're kind of navigating your way through and, you know, you're so happy just to be where you are and have an opportunity. And it's kind of taken me a long time to find that voice and to, you know, stand up and say I'm not happy with something. I haven't always done that, and there's been times in the past I wish I did. I think that's age and experience. You know, it's very hard when you first start out, when you're naive and you're just, especially like I moved from Ireland to London, and that was such a big kind of culture shock anyway, and like not having really any friends from home over here, and it took me a while to kind of get the confidence to kind of speak up a little bit more. And when you work on entertainment shows, especially live shows, you don't really have a lot of time with people. With MTV, you know, I have great relationships where I get to, like, people who I've interviewed years ago, like Katy Perry or Chris Martin. If I see now, like, I interviewed them kind of, like, about 10, 12 years ago, and you're probably the same. You see them now, and you still have those lovely relationships with them. But, like, on telly, you've got 10 minutes where that's aired, especially when it's live. And to be able to do radio, I feel radio is a different environment. And you know, it's warm. You've got a bit more space. It's more conversational. And it feels a little bit more authentic.
It's immediate.
It's exactly. And by doing that, I think people see a different side. Sometimes you just have to let people see a different side. And I judge people. We all judge people. We all see someone in the paper or magazine and we think we know them. So I'm trying to learn not to do
that. Yeah, but you're
not.
You're very generous. You're a good girl. You're a good girl. It sounds so funny. I sound.
Tell my mom. My mom.
Yeah, or you can tell her from me that I think she's a good girl. This is a question I ask everybody, and it's so funny because everybody seems to say the same thing, and I'll tell you afterwards what they say. What makes you laugh?
What makes me laugh? Sometimes it's not the things I should be laughing at. Sometimes it's when everything goes wrong and you have to laugh because that's all you got to do. But what makes me laugh? I mean, I do live with a comedian, but shockingly, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to say comedian because I am like, you can't just do stand up at home all the time because that's just too much for any one person to take. But life makes me laugh. I think every day I laugh every day somehow. The little things that go wrong, the things that don't work out the way they're supposed to, my friends, the dog.
See, I love that.
Like just normal stuff.
So you said the thing that everybody says, and people love things going wrong. What is that in us that we like things like that?
Because if you don't laugh, you cry, especially when it happens to you. I don't know. Maybe it's the human connection in it, because let's be honest, no one's perfect. Things go wrong in life all the time. So maybe there's like, yes, that back to that word relatability in that, and that's kind of why we laugh. Maybe it's to hide the embarrassment because it's easier just to laugh. But sometimes you don't laugh straight away and it takes a while to look back and laugh. But yeah, I'm the same. I kind of grew up watching slapstick comedy as well, like the really kind of outrageous stuff and just the silliness, being silly. Oh, like being when you're a kid, being silly. No, you'd run so fast that you'd fall over or it hurt, and you just like, you know, proper bellyache laugh. And I don't think we do enough of that. And sometimes when I see my friends' kids or my godchildren, and I'm just like, I need a bit of that in my life.
Oh, I'm not going to take that further. I promise.
No, I'm not going to steal someone's child, but I need to, I'll just play with them.
That's so funny you say about living with a stand-up though, because there's that weird thing that everybody imagines that a stand-up is funny all the time. One of my best friends is a very well-known, very famous stand-up. And he always gets frustrated because if we're ever out, people say, oh, go on, be funny. It's weird, isn't it? Does Ian get that all the time?
No, he just gets people shouts, I've got a text. He gets people shouting that. And you know what annoys him? He never says that on the show. Like he's like, it's the Islanders say that. He's like, I don't even say it on the show. So please don't shout that at him if you see him. So he gets a lot of that. And like, I've got a lot of friends who are comedians and writers. And I mean, it's such an incredible talent, but it's also most comedians, like it's a work in progress. And, you know, they're really great writers and they've been working on their stand-up for a long time. They haven't just got up there. Like, I always think Ian's great at heckling. Like, he's just got a natural funny bone and he's very quick and he's very smart. Don't tell him I said that. But I think there's a lot of work that goes into it too. So you can't just tell someone like, it's like, you know, telling an actor to like suddenly just perform a whole piece of theatre for me. Do you know?
Yes, go on. Act. Yeah. They're not going to do it. You're going to do more acting, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. I've really enjoyed it. I wrote my first screenplay last year of a short film, and that was doing the rounds and festivals. We won a lovely award for that. We got into a good few festivals. So that was really, really, really special. And I've just had a treatment commissioned to write something else, which will involve acting. But in very, very early days, everything takes a while, but I've done a lot of theatre. I'm quite new to acting on camera, which is a whole other ball game because theatre is immediate, and for anyone who acts on camera, it takes a bloody long time. Because I've done a few different shows and little sitcoms and things like that, and like, oh my god, you could spend a week doing one scene.
So, but is that something you do want to do more of that though, don't you?
Yeah, but I also don't think it's not hugely away from what I do anyway. It's all storytelling. It's performance in some way. It's not like I've gone from like carpentry to like, oh, I'm going to be a dentist now. Do you know? So I do think it all kind of fits in the narrative. I've always loved writing, and I think that's the one thing that kind of ties everything together. I've always loved questions, and I've always loved people, whether I'm interviewing them or playing them or writing them. I just love that. And relationships, I'm just so intrigued by people. I love people watching. Like that person who like sits on a park bench by themselves just watching, which is a bit weird. But
it is, but I do it too, and I love it.
And so I kind of think it all kind of fits in the radio, and it's all storytelling, it's all getting ideas. So everything I do, I end up getting an idea for something else. So I could be, you know, doing a piece on radio. Someone shares their story and there's something in that which gives me an idea to write something or a character for something. So it is all linked.
Oh, you see, I think the world is your oyster. And I mean, it's such a cliched expression, but it really is with you. And what's so wonderful is that you're embracing it all. Instead of saying no, you just say, OK, let me think about it. You don't necessarily say yes straight away. And there is nothing greater than having open arms and an open heart. And that's exactly what you have.
That's a lovely thing to say. And that it is really nice. You kind of have to be open to things because, as my mother always says, if you're not in it, you can't win it. And my first job ever was, you know, this MTV competition, which I will forever be grateful for because I had no experience. No one in my family works in television. My mom's a civil servant. My dad works in finance. My best friend's a doctor and one's like a nurse, and they all work in, you know, they all have real jobs, a primary school teacher. And then, so I was like, how am I going to get in this industry? And I entered a competition, and you know, a lot of people sometimes contact me going, oh, I want to be a presenter. How do I be a presenter? And like, I can't tell you how to be it, but open yourself up and put yourself out there, because I can tell you one thing. They're not the opportunities aren't going to come to you and knock down the door. You kind of have to hustle and open up that door yourself.
Good for you. Well done for the hustling. You know, it's such a joy to talk to you and actually have this long to talk to you. Send Ian my love. And as I said, I think you two are the perfect fit. But you have to make me one promise, please.
Okay. Go on.
It's not a big, heavy one. Just one more TikTok dance, please.
Well, I'm always up for it. It's just trying to convince him to. But if I say that you requested it, I'm sure he will.
Thank you. Thank you, my darling. You're gorgeous.
Thank you, Gabby. Thank you so much.
That Gabby Roslin podcast is proudly produced by Cameo Productions. Music by Beth Macari. Please press the subscribe button and it will come straight to your phone on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you choose to listen. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Yeah.